So life is full of unexpected trials, right? This week, I won't go into details into my fun little opportunity this week to practice joy, but I was dealing with some fraud and some things online, and I got scammed a little bit. And as I was kind of walking through it after hours of trying to change passwords and be on the phone and blah, 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 I was like, you know, Lord, I didn't really need a living, active illustration this week. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, I really didn't need that, you know? And I'll tell you this, sometimes when we walk through things, it doesn't always happen in the moment, you know? I'm still working through some of my frustrations of some of that. But I do understand that God works through all things and God's in it, right? Even though hard things happen. So we realize life just comes with unexpected frustrations, trials, and tribulations. Sometimes they come in the form of sickness or financial hardship. Or maybe it's broken relationships for you or disappointment. Maybe it's just loss and you're grieving. Or maybe for you, it's just uncertainty about the future. See, most people naturally ask the question, why is this happening to me, right? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Yeah. Why is this happening to me? We're going to look today in the book of James, and he challenges believers to ask a different question. The question is this: what is God doing through this? All right. So that instead of saying, what's happening? Why is this happening to me? We can flip the question and say, what is God doing through this? And you know what? Every single person, you have your own this today. You have your own trial or tribulation, or you have your own whatever you're dealing with. You see, the Christian life is not a promise of a trouble-free existence. If you signed up to know Jesus for trouble-free life, that is not going to happen, all right? He said he would be with us, that he would never leave us or fail us, but he did not promise that there wouldn't be trials and tribulations. That's part of a fallen world, right? Rather, it's a promise that God works through every circumstance for his glory. And then our growth. Yay! Who's excited about that part, right? I mean, his glory, that's awesome, right? But our growth. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that I'm still learning and that I don't have it all figured out. So God uses things, right? Doesn't cause bad things to happen, but he'll utilize things in our lives to remind us that we are still growing and learning and have a lot to learn. Before we turn, we're going to turn to James chapter 1. So if you're looking for where we're heading, that's where we're heading. But before we dive into James' instruction today, it helps to understand a little bit about it. The book of James was written by Jesus' half-brother. Most think that that's what they think. Though he did not initially believe in Jesus during his earthly ministry, all right, again, half-brother, he came to faith after the resurrection when Jesus appeared, all right? James later became a key leader in the early church, and he writes in the beginning, which we'll read in a moment, he writes to the 12 tribes who are scattered among the nations, all right? So he's referring to Jewish Christians who had been dispersed due to the persecution of going on at that time, all right? So this letter that James wrote is going to those people, the believers. They were facing really hard times, all right? We face hard times, but right now in America, we're not facing persecution like other Christians in other parts of the world, all right? So there's little legitimate, real persecution going on, like people being murdered and killed for their faith, pastors that are praying, that are getting jailed. So, I mean, it's not here in America at this point, but in other parts of the country right now, people couldn't meet like we meet. So again, persecution, that's been all the time. And it's been happening, it was happening in the time of James. So he's writing this letter to these believers to encourage them, right? His audience was not dealing with minor inconveniences. These were great difficulties of the time. His message is practical. I love that. It's direct and it's rooted in endurance. Another hard word, right? Just as it was for them, this message for us is for today. Okay. So even though this was for the Christians at the time that were dispersed, this letter written by James is for us today. And even in this time of our culture, we also live in a world where our faith is tested. And we must learn to trust God through every circumstance. You believe that? Yeah. James 1:2 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Okay? Consider it an opportunity for great joy. So at first glance, that really seems impossible, right? How can we have joy in the middle of suffering? How could they even think of that in the middle of being dispersed and being persecuted? James goes on to explain that our joy is not based on circumstances, but on God's purpose in those circumstances. I'm sure you've heard of this illustration before. A silversmith once explained that silver is purified by placing it in intense heat. The fire causes impurities to rise to the surface where they can then be scuffed off, right, and removed. The silver becomes more valuable and beautiful through the process of being refined. That's what trials and tribulations can do for us. That's where the opportunity comes in for great joy. Because those trials and tribulations can be like the refiner's fire that comes into our life and begins to purify. And the junk in our life raises to the top, and then the Lord can wipe it off. And we can become more pure and reflect Him even greater, right? God uses the fires of life to refine His people. All right? He's not bringing it on you, but He will use it to refine you. Look at your trials today, whatever that is, whatever you're facing. Realize that God is going to use that to refine you, right? To be more like Christ. Let's read James 1. We're going to read 1 through 8. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And then we're going to talk about a few points out of the scripture today. And I know we're running out of time, so don't worry. We're not going to be here super late. James 1 says this, "This letter is from James, a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, the Jewish believers scattered abroad." He says, "Greetings." And he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Verse 4, "So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Verse 8, "Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do." All right, again, practical. He's letting them know, here are some advice, here's some wisdom for you as you're facing these times. These are hard, though. I don't know about you. When you read that, that doesn't sound easy, right? But as we look at there's some purposes to joy. And the first thing is this, joy has a purpose. James does not say if troubles come, he says when troubles come. That means they are coming. They're inevitable for every believer. Notice that James doesn't tell us to enjoy the trial itself. He tells us to consider it an opportunity for joy. Consider it. What are your thoughts about that? Just consider that you might be able to have joy in this space. because of what God can produce through it, not the trial itself. Verse 3 says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." I don't know about you, but the walk of Christianity, knowing Jesus, is not a sprint. It's not a 60-yard little race where you get on and you're done. It is a marathon, which causes us to have what? Endurance, right? We have to endure. We have to persevere. Endurance is literally the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process without giving way. How's your endurance today as a Christ follower? How's your endurance on this journey of knowing Christ? How is it today? How's your stamina, your patience, your staying power, your perseverance in saying, "Okay, Lord, I trust you in the midst of this, that you're working all things out according to your will"? How you doing today? I don't know about you, but that's rough sometimes, you know? Aren't you thankful that God is good, though? Joy has a purpose in our life. Testing reveals the genuineness of our faith. Just as muscles grow stronger through resistance, faith grows stronger through adversity. It just is the way it is. You know? Oh, man. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says this: "So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Trials test and refine our faith like gold in the fire." Hebrews 12:11 says this: "No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." Discipline is painful, but it produces righteousness if we continue on. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this: "For our present troubles..." are small and won't last very long, all right? "Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." For our troubles are small in comparison, right? Here on earth, we're only here for a little bit of time, right? To us, they're big. He's not saying that. We're his kids, but they're small and they're not going to last very long. They will produce an eternal glory that outweighs them all. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Paul's got a perspective that's helpful for us. He went through some things in his life, some suffering, some time where he had to choose joy. Romans 5. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. You guys with me today? You doing good? Yeah. This is a hard one because it's just the practical part of it is challenging to walk it out, right? So obviously Paul is writing this to the Romans. This letter, he says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops the strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Paul endured so much: imprisonment, beatings, shipwrecks, rejection, persecution, over and over again, not just like one time. Yet he learned that suffering was not wasted in God's hands. Trials were not wasted in God's hands. Joy comes when we understand that God is using trials to accomplish something eternal. All right? I know it's hard. So joy has a purpose. Number 2, joy produces maturity, right? Verse 4 says, "So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." That word perfect does not mean you'll have it all together. It means spiritual maturity. All right, that you'll be mature. God's goal is not simply to make us comfortable. His goal is to make us like him, Christ-like. All right? His goal is to be like iron sharpens iron. His goal is to allow things in our lives to sharpen us, to refine us, so that we ultimately become like him. Spiritual maturity is not automatic. It's developed through perseverance. All right? Trials often accomplish what prosperity will not. When everything's going well, we often become too self-reliant. We often become, well, we don't even need God because we got so many things going on good for us, right? But difficulties teach us dependence on God. We cannot do it without him. And so those difficulties, those trials, force us to depend on him. One of my other favorite illustrations is about the butterfly. A man once watched a butterfly struggling to emerge from its cocoon. Feeling sorry for it, he cut the cocoon open to help it. The butterfly emerged easily, right? Came right out. But its wings never had the time to develop properly, so it couldn't fly. You see, the struggle was necessary because the pressure forced fluid into the wings, strengthening them for flight eventually. Likewise, some of the struggles we wish for God to remove are the very things he's using to strengthen our faith. So listen, don't cut the cocoon. I know you want to pray it away. I know you want to shorten it, whatever it is, but don't do that. The Lord is allowing that to happen so that your muscles on your wings can get strong enough so that when it's ready, when you're ready, you'll break out of that cocoon and be able to fly. There's a process that if you shorten it, you won't be able to ultimately fly like the butterfly is meant to fly. Amen? So here's the thing. Don't rush difficult seasons. Absolutely pray and talk to the Lord about it, but often we ask him to remove. We're like, remove all the things that are hurting us. And he's like, okay, but these things are going to help you be more like me. Allow God to complete his work in you. Don't short circuit it. And remember that maturity is developed over time. It just takes time for us to become more like him. Amen? So joy produces maturity. Joy seeks wisdom. Verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask a generous God and he will give it to you. Anybody in here need wisdom for something you're facing? I love it. That's why I love James. It's so practical. If you need something, ask the Lord and he will grant it according to his will, right? Trials often leave us confused. We may not know what decision to make or what lesson is God teaching. How long will this trial last? You see, God doesn't promise to answer every why, but he does promise wisdom for every situation. That's beautiful. Biblical wisdom is the ability to see life from God's perspective and respond accordingly. I have to pray for that a lot. God, get me out of my small view. Give me your view. Give me your perspective. Give me your wisdom. Because I don't get it. I don't see it. Whatever we lack, we can ask the Lord for and he will give us. God gives wisdom generously, not reluctantly. He welcomes our dependence on him. Isn't that great? So when you're facing trials, pray before reacting. Seek God's word before seeking worldly advice. Ask God for wisdom daily. We need him daily, all right? Joy seeks wisdom. Number 4, joy requires faith. Verses 6 and 8, it says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone, not in the things of this world, not in your own abilities, but in God alone. Doubt here refers to a divided loyalty and a wavering trust. The double-minded person wants to trust God while also relying on self. James compares that person to a wave tossed by the wind, all right? That's not what we want to be like. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us that without faith, it's impossible to please God, all right? Stable joy requires stable faith. How's your faith? Is it stable today? Philippians 4:11 through 13 says this, and I'm scooting around, Vicky, so thanks for trying to follow me. Philippians 4:11 through 13 says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation." On to the next. "Whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." He understood what it's like, right? Paul discovered that joy and contentment are learned through trusting Christ in every situation. "I've learned how to be content with whatever I have." How's that going for you today? Have you learned how to be content in your situation today, whatever that looks like, good, bad, or all the in between? Because with Christ, we can have joy and contentment, because we know that in every season, God is with us and God's going to take care of us. We can trust him in that. We can take him to the bank. So how do we do that? We focus on God's character rather than our circumstances. We can remember his faithfulness. He's done it in the past. Guess what? He doesn't change. He's done it in the past. He'll do it again. And we can trust that. We can stand on his promises when emotions fluctuate. As I close here, just a couple reminders, all right? God is purposeful, all right? So your trials are not random. God is actively working through those things for his purposes. God is more concerned with our character than our comfort. He uses hardships to shape us into his image. Remember, spiritual maturity often develops through adversity. God is generous. When we lack wisdom, he invites us to ask him, and he promises to give it generously. God is faithful. He can be trusted even when circumstances don't make sense. And God rewards perseverance. Endurance is not wasted. There is an eternal blessing for those who remain faithful. James 1:12 says, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." That's the message today, that we can have joy in circumstances. Again, not because we're happy about the circumstances, but because of who Christ is. Arabella, if you'd come up and begin playing. As we prepare our hearts to respond just to the word today, I know God has been speaking to you. I can see it in your faces. I can sense it in the room. And we want to give you an opportunity just to take a moment and respond to the Lord, because this relates to all of us. So how will you respond today? If you're in a trial right now, will you trust that God has purpose in it? It's a question to just ask yourself in a moment. Will you seek his wisdom and choose faith over fear today? Maybe your response is surrender, is simply saying, "Lord, I trust you." Maybe for you, it's to refocus, choosing to depend on him instead of yourself. Or maybe it's to take a step of faith and fully place your trust in Christ today. There's a lot of different options to connect with a lot of different of you that are here today. But I believe that each one of you, God is speaking. So let's just take a moment with your eyes closed and your heads bowed. Just take a moment and talk to the Lord. How are you going to respond to the word today? Whatever your situation, God is calling you to trust him in the middle of it.